That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Got our coffee here and we'll welcome the men on. We say good morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Morning.
We say good morning to you, the remnant, that are joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, broadcasting out on the shortwave, WTWW, at the internet at our website, scripturesforamerica.org, and sfawbn.com, and also out on the audio satellite, and you can even dial your phone and tune in. And so we're doing what we can to put the truth out, the message, the true gospel message to the remnant. And we welcome you for joining us here. Lots going on, and we'll have the phone lines open today, but we sure like to start off with a word of prayer. So, John, would you do that? Start us off?
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we praise you and we love you, and you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've set aside for us to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds, just as your word says, and help us not to forsake the assembly, Lord, which is the habit of most these days. Father, your word says that if two or more are gathered in your name, you're there also. So, Lord, we say, come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest this morning. Bring your myriads and myriads of angels, Father. Pray that this program this morning, Lord, would be pleasing to you. Father, guide and direct us. Give us wisdom and understanding. Show us how it is to tie these events that are taking place in the world today, the birth pangs, Lord, to your scripture, the holy word, Lord. The only watchmen that we need, the warnings are all there, Lord, if we just seek them out. We thank you that you are a God that keeps his promises. And you told us that in the last days knowledge would increase. You told Daniel and John to seal up these things until the last days. And Father, we know that there's things that are being revealed that we never saw before because it wasn't the proper time. Well, we thank you, Lord, that you find us worthy to be able to see these things. Thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. And we continue to cry out, Lord, for not only those that are your remnant, but those that can be your remnant, those that can come to repentance, those that can have the scales removed from their eyes and their ears unstopped. But Father, we cry out for grace and mercy for your people, as well as those that can come to repentance. We ask that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Give the patriarchs of each family, Lord, wisdom and understanding that we may be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. Recognize that it's your word. Give us discernment, Father, that we would know that it is from you, and help us to have the faith to obey whatever it is that you tell us to do. And Father, bless this time this morning. We just ask that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Continue to draw us closer as brothers and sisters in Christ, and draw the children back to the fathers. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus, the only protection that we have, Lord, to cleanse us of any impurities and protect us from the diseases and the plagues that are so prevalent in the land these days. We just thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you want to give us a call, if you have a question or a comment, and we'll do our best to get to that. Jason, how do you see the current events, just what's going on today? Let's start out with you down there, if that's all right.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to start off with was talking to Josh this morning. He's been running a crew down in Florida, down in the Southern Keys, and stayed in touch with him quite a bit lately, and, you know, he's just continued to ask for prayers just because of some of the things that they've had to go through. I mean, they've been out there, they've been waiting in, you know, chest-high water, you know, on a daily basis, and, you know, with this hurricane that came in, it brought all the alligators, crocodiles, snakes in, and he said that, you know, he said when the snakes ain't trying to kill you, the alligators are, and when the alligators ain't trying to kill you, the mosquitoes are. And he said that just every day it's been something. It's going really well, though. He says that they are just about to complete having everything turned back on as far as the power goes to off to all the residences, all the buildings. And that's what he's working on the lineman crew down there. And it's they've almost got it. They'll be done shortly with restoring power. So, you know, that's no easy task. You know, and they traveled a long ways and been working, you know, 16 hours a day every single day, 7 days a week since he got down there.
Yeah, not to mention electricity and water don't mix very well either.
Very well, no, they don't at all. So, you know, I think that's a praise report just to, you know, to see, you know, how that has bounced back. You know, he said it's still going to be some time before, you know, some of the gas lines and stuff like that are going to be, some of that stuff still needs some major repairs, but they're working on it. But, you know, being it's only been a couple weeks, being able to, the amount of devastation that they had down on the coastlines and in the Keys, that's pretty amazing. I mean, and, you know, it was, they got down there, they were supposed to stay in tents, they ended up getting to be able to stay in hotels later on, and God obviously protected them and kept them safe, and, you know, he said that the days, you know, he said, it can be really challenging when you're working 16 hours a day with the same people over and over 7 days a week, and he said, you know what, he said, the days just fly by, and he said, we are just getting stuff done, and he said, things are just happening, so... you know, I think that's definitely worthy of a praise report. You know,
absolutely.
You see things like that, and you go through the devastation, and, you know, part of that, you know, it's when it's right here in the news, it's like, you know, even what we're hearing about with Harvey and stuff like that, that went through the news and the devastation and the destruction that took place there. There's another, something else, and it's out of sight, out of mind with a lot of people. You know, they don't think about it, and they don't think that, you know, it takes some people years to rebuild, and, you know, years and years of recovery to get back just to where people were before, you know, they deal with something like this. So it's, you know, I just wanted to put it out that, you know, there's still people, a lot of people dealing with things that, you know, from these catastrophes, and there's still a lot of people working, you know, around the clock, you know, 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, trying to, you know, get the power back onto people.
Yeah. I asked him if they were going to send him into Puerto Rico, and he said no. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the, you know, one of the things that we've got to remember, and you know, remember to, you know, keep those bars. You know, and granted, you know, you think about it, it may not be our people that were down there that were in right in where that storm hit or anything like that, but we've got our people that are the ones that have the ability and the know-how to get that part of the country back online as far as the power grid goes. You know, we need to keep those people in prayers, because I know that that crew that Josh has got down there that he's been working with, he's got a good group of good guys, and, you know, they're our people. So, you know, we got to keep some of those people in our prayers too. But I was encouraged about talking with him, so I do encourage that. You know, as we talk about the current events and as far as the news system goes, there's been so much going on, and, you know, it's no wonder. I mean, I read a story this week, and I just instantly, you know, hit me that, well, Arizona's going to be, it's going to have catastrophes next. The story was elementary students forced to recite a gender-neutral Declaration of Independence. And, you know, this article was students, so I'll just read part of it. I got a couple of things highlighted here that I wanted to share. Students at an elementary school in Mesa, Arizona were forced to recite a gender-neutral revision of the Declaration of Independence, local news reports. The mother of a Sauk Elementary School fourth grader student complained to the administrators after learning her children's teacher transformed the historic document to substitute the word human in areas where the founding fathers wrote man. The students were then told to recite the revised edition. The student's mother, Elizabeth Valorant, whatever, took to social media to complain about their teaching injecting her politics with school officials claimed hurt the teacher's feelings. You know, and they went, so basically they took everything off and they completely changed it, and, you know, because they had to remove gender. And then later on, the biggest complaint was, is, well, some people hurt the teacher's feelings. The students hurt the teacher's feelings. The mothers and the parents of the children hurt the teacher's feelings. You know, no consideration for, you know, I mean, feelings, when you start talking about feelings, right, I mean, that is, you know, as the pastor used to put it, that is a man's way of thinking versus a woman's way of thinking, and the feelings side is a woman's way of thinking. You know, what about the children? What about the parents? What about the school district? What about anything else? I mean, when you start doing that thing, that's just, you know, that's subtly flipping poison into society right there when you start changing and removing it, trying to make it more gender-friendly. Well, who gives a rat's butt about offending a stinking transgendered person? I mean, really? You know, how many of them are there? And, you know, I thought about that, and, you know, she's crying out, oh, they're hurting my feelings because they're upset about this. Well, toughen up or stop it or get out or quit your job or quit. I mean, you know, one thing that, you know, with a lot of this social media and stuff, it's given a lot of people an outlet to cry out. But that's one of the things that people need to do, is they need to cry out when they see these abominations happening. Because that's what these thinking queer homosexuals, transgenders do all the time. And that's one of the reasons that they have gotten to the position that they have gotten, is by doing just that.
Yeah, did you see more than 40 families pulled children from school that forced their transgender lesson on five-year-olds? Rockland, California, September 22nd, 2017, 41 families pulled 73 children from the elite Sacramento area Rockland Academy Charter School as the board continues to defend a kindergarten transgender lesson. Several parents had traumatized their five-year-olds, and the parents were told, the parents weren't told about it beforehand, so... That's good. We're seeing the rise in
that. They did, and I hope they don't take those kids back either.
Amen to that.
Yep, absolutely.
Amen. Well, we are in.
I mean, it's the way that they'll portray it as, you know, these people are harming the children by pulling them out of this. No, they're not. They're saving their children. They love their children, and they don't want to have anything to do with that filth.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen to that.
And there needs to be a lot more.
They're not accepted and tolerant. You know, they're homophobes, they're Islamophobes, they're whatever other words they can come up with. The funny thing is, what I bet you 5 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago, probably 5 years ago for sure, transgender wasn't even a word, and then all of a sudden it became the target. You know, became they got their gay marriage, and so they have to start pushing transgenderism. And I got news for you, folks. If you look at what's going on in Europe and even in Canada, the next step's pedophilia. So if you're accepted and tolerant of homosexual gay marriages and now transgenderism, then you get ready to be accepted and tolerant of pedophilia. But at that point, a man has to be a man, and you got to do what you got to do. So that's just the way it is.
Oh, it was interesting because as you brought that up, I thought about it. It was about 94, 95. That's when I had a talk with our pastor, and you know, I called him Dad, and Dad had to have a talk with me and explain to me what a homosexual was. Well, it was about 2005, maybe 2008, I had to have a talk with him and tell him what, and explain to him what a transgender was. And couldn't believe it. Just
yeah,
like I couldn't believe
sad,
it,
isn't it?
Oh, 15 years prior to that.
Yeah. God help us.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I mean, and that's just... You see things like this, and then you wonder, okay, why do we have earthquakes? Why do we have hurricanes? Why do we have so much devastation across this land? Geez, you know, it doesn't really take a rocket scientist to put two and two together.
Yeah, kind of makes you wonder if even Sodom and Gomorrah had gone that far to the transgenderism and pedophilia.
They
may have.
When they're trying to rape the angels, I mean, I think that we're drastically getting that, to that point.
Yeah, where man's thoughts were continually evil.
And,
so,
you know, I mean, I think
it wasn't no one's
case. I think the thing is we still got there's still a remnant. And I think that that's one of the things that people need to, you know, realize and make up their mind that, okay, as long as we're still here, we got a chance. You know, I think about that scripture often. When I return, will I find faith? Well, having faith is finding out, is doing the same thing that you're doing, trying to raise a Christian family in a modern day society. That, you know, that takes a lot of faith. So, you know, that's what you do. One of the things that I was convicted on this week is, you know, we talk about, you know, a voice in the wilderness, how we want to be a voice in the wilderness. Well, I understand where that's coming from, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, a voice in the wilderness, you're not going to reach that many people, because there's not very many people in the wilderness to reach. I think that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are in need of reaching, and, you know, we need to change our thoughts and change the way, our way of thinking, because, you know, right now is we need a trumpet to be blown across this land, and, you know, from sea to shining sea, it needs to be blown in the cities, it needs to be blown everywhere, you know, where the masses are, because, you know, people are not hearing what they need to hear. They're not getting it from the churches, they're not getting it with the media. And that's one thing that I've really been, you know, I'll tell you what, Trump's done a fantastic job of exposing the fake news out there. I mean, we've been saying that for years, and you know, it's been so hard to do that. And, you know, not saying that as far as his administration doesn't have some of their own fake news. I know that they do, you know, and that's been proven as well. But it has really shown how much this fake news is out there and how rampant it is. And I think that that's one thing that I've been encouraged about, because this mass media across this land has really got taken down a couple of notches.
Amen to that.
Yeah, the scripture that comes to mind, it's been convicting me as of late, and it should convict every one of us that calls ourselves a Christian follower of Jesus Christ, is Ezekiel 22:30. And it says, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. We need to be those that are standing up and building that wall, standing in the gap. 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, when my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. And I've been saying that for years, that it's 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust.
Yes.
And it's interesting, though, that with as much that's going on in the world, even those who naysayers, you know, and kind of thought you're crazy because of the way you believe and how you put scripture to the things that are going on, they're waking up and they're saying, well, if this is true, I'm getting scared. And I said, well, if you're not right with God, you should be scared. If you're right with God, you don't have to worry about it.
Amen. Amen. Had a lady call in the office yesterday and said, what do you think about those? So-and-so is saying, it's going around that this Planet X is going to hit and destroy the Earth on basically today, but this was yesterday. And, reminded her, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, but God has always had his remnant. He has always had his remnant that he gave eyes to see, and he still has his remnant today. And the people that are desiring, his righteousness, it makes me think about those parents that you guys were talking about pulled their children out of the schools. His people are waking up. We've been saying that, but that waking up is a gradual process. We read that in Isaiah, awake, awake, O Zion. It is a awakening up. And Jason, like you said, that by sounding the trumpet, by putting the warning out, it wakes people up. It's like an alarm clock going off that the people are asleep. They finally are starting to wake up. One here, two here, three over here, one over here. They're hearing the alarm, hearing the word of God, and waking up.
Well, and hopefully, and some people will wake up that way, and some people won't wake up until they're have bloodshed in their own family. You look at the scriptures, and there was a time when Israel didn't repent until bloodshed hit every single family. Every single household had lost someone, and that's when they finally woke up and they turned back to God. That's happened before, and sometimes our people are just that stuck up. Now, hopefully and prayfully, and when with a lot of prayer, it doesn't have to come to that point. But for some, it will.
Amen.
Yeah, obedience. Obedience is the key. There's no doubt about it. As he's ready to punish their disobedience when our obedience is complete. And, reading in the Old Testament here recently, and you can see, if you start to put together the pieces in Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and you can see that the reason that they wandered for 40 years was because they weren't obedient, because they grumbled and they murmured, and basically because they had, by the leadership of Aaron, worshipped that golden calf when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. God made sure that not one of them that was over the age of accountability, age 20, would see the promised land. And he kept them out there until every one of them was weeded out, till every one of them died.
Amen. Amen. And yeah, the only ones that made it, Caleb, because he had a different
yep.
spirit. because he had a different spirit. See, he was different. And the people today, oh, you can be different in your own way, but no, you have to conform. They have twisted society, and then they want you to conform to that ungodliness and that sin that is what society is today. No, we have to be of a different spirit. We have to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit so that we can be like Caleb, so we can be like Joshua, so we can, even in the midst of earthquakes and hurricanes and great fires and storms and tribulations, that we can be like Caleb and Joshua and say, hey, wait a minute, the Lord is with us. And if the Lord is with us, then nothing can come against us. And we have to be of that spirit today. It worked for him then. It will work for us. It does work for us today. It does. In Isaiah 5 is where it talks about verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. And, and you know, when you have a filthy antichrist sinner, a creature that was created to be destroyed is how the Bible describes him. Take something like the Declaration of Independence, and make this transgender, and then cause 5 and 6 and 7 year olds to read it aloud. That is someone who has taken light and substituted darkness for it, and led his children astray. And there's other woes and other writings regarding leading his little ones astray. But that's the day we live in. How many times do we read this? You see this kind of stuff all the time. And it is growing and growing, at least like was mentioned, in the last 5 years since this new, whatever this transgender thing is, since that's come into society. Right above it, I think it's what verse 13 says, therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. And that's what it is. The enemy has taken the word of God away from the people, substituted all types of stuff for it. And the word of knowledge is taken from the people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's, you know, one of the things, as we see things changing, this last week, I did a radio show. I was a guest on a station that was on Revolution Radio, and, we talked about, faith versus, being prepared. And, so many people, they'll stand up and they say, well, all I need is Jesus, and that's one of the topics that we were talking about is being prepared is when you make preparations, is that a lack of faith? And, as we see things changing, I think a person would be absolutely foolish not to prepare for a natural disaster. I mean, it's like, I think that it's foolish for somebody to be riding around with their gas tank on E because they're going to run out. If you see that's coming and you can see that you're running out of gas and you know that you're not going to make it very far on gas, at the same time, do I believe that in a situation where you needed something and you could God not make you go another 5, 10, 100 miles, even 1,000 miles, without putting gas in that tank? I believe that as well. But, when you see things happening and you start preparing for it, I don't believe that is a lack of faith. I believe that it's going to be our Heavenly Father that delivers us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, the forces that are coming against us, and all these natural disasters that are coming in against us. I mean,
amen.
It's like going outside in the winter in a blizzard without a coat on. You see a blizzard coming, you see a snowstorm, you know that it's coming, and you decide that you're going to go out in a t-shirt. I mean, where do you draw the lines on if a person is going to be prepared for what and how? And, I think that's where faith comes in. One of the things that a person needs to do is say, okay, Lord, how do I need to be prepared? How do I need to be preparing to take care of my family? for the things that are coming. Do I need to have food put away? Do I need to have water put away? Do I need to have shelter? You know, in a natural disaster, it takes, you know, a person can perish in 8 hours, in 48 hours without shelter. You know, they can make it 3 days without water. They can make it 8 to 10 days without food at tops. And, you know, that's in a, you know, in a natural disaster situation. So what is a person to do? That is where your faith comes in, I believe, is that's what you're going to have to ask the Heavenly Father. You know, what am I supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to be preparing? But now is the time to, you know, prepare your hearts, your minds, your attitudes, your spirits, get your life right with God. Look at these things and, you know, don't say, well, I live up in inland and, you know, a hurricane ain't going to hit me. And we really don't have that, we don't have the potential and there's never been a hurricane here. Okay, yeah, well, that's fine and dandy, but there has been snowstorms, there's been blizzards, and every square inch of this country has been affected by earthquakes and volcanic activity at one point or another.
Yes, and, you know, just because it hasn't happened, you know, we see that, you know, just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't. We see, like you said, Jason, you have these things that happen in other parts of the country or other parts in the world. And God has always done that to get his people's attention. You know, you mentioned about preparation, the story of Joseph and, you know, being able to interpret Pharaoh's dream of the 7 years of famine. That were coming after 7 good years, and that was the, you know, and God gave him that twice, bam bam, and gave him a double witness, and Joseph was, you know, was able to, through God's leading, convince Pharaoh that that is what was happening, because that was what was happening, that was coming, whether they were prepared or not, God had put that in place, and Joseph sure got prepared. He got prepared, and that saved the 70, the brothers and the family, so that we are here today.
Because that completely, that saved his complete genealogy, and that saved most of Egypt as well.
It did, and you know, we still thousands of years later talk about it today. It's been proven archaeology. You know, that the famine did happen, that the food was stored up for 7 years. And then at the end of 7 years, famine came. The rivers dried up and the rains didn't come and the food didn't grow. And it was only because they had been prepared by the leading of God, that they had been physically prepared with, you know, basically with food, that they were able to, and it wasn't just in Egypt, it was in the whole land of that area. And I think that is a great example that, you know, Joseph had faith. You read through the story of Joseph, from being, you know, thrown in the pit by his brothers and sold into slavery and years in prison. You know, God was preparing him. That might not be the way we would look at preparing, you know, for a natural disaster, preparing for being able to get through a famine. But we read about it in the Word. It's true and it's right. It's how God prepared Joseph, and how God was preparing things to save his people, through his people, through those that were obedient to him. And you can bet that Joseph had his heart right. You know, when Joseph gets the interpretation, when you go back and read the story, he gives all the glory to God. Pharaoh says, oh, so we hear that you can interpret dreams, as he's pulled him out of prison. And Joseph says, no, but God can, and God does. And Joseph's heart was right. And, you know, the story of Joseph ties right in, Jason, with this, yeah, being prepared. You know, we know winter's coming. It's fall. We just got into fall this past week, and it's cooling off. You know, you're getting a little more rain. It's cooling off. So, you know, you see people preparing all over. You see people putting up firewood. You know, you check your radiator to make sure you have plenty of coolant in it. You drain your water hoses. You know, we do those preparation things. Do you not have faith that, you know, God won't freeze your water hose? No, you know better. you know that if it's going to freeze, you better drain your water hose or it's going to bust. But it seems like we've lost that knowledge that is knowledge that God has given us to be prepared. And
yeah, I got a kick out of Wednesday morning prayer breakfast this morning, because as you read through the Bible reading plan for last week up and through Tuesday, those things that these guys have never seen before, because I know that
numbers.
A preacher never pointed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So I started out in like Numbers 25, you know, and I read verses 3 through 5, and I had all these things highlighted, you know. So Israel joined themselves to Baal Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal Peor." And I'm like, do you guys see that? Do you see what the penalty was for disobedience, for going after false gods? And then, you know, verse 7, they couldn't even believe this, you know. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, a man of Israel and the man of Israel and the woman through the body. So the plague of the sons of Israel was checked. Those who died by the plague were 24,000. I mean, these are things that they had never seen before. And I said, yeah, you don't go into a court of God pleading acceptance and tolerance. It doesn't work that way.
Amen.
And then you read on in the zeal of Phinehas in verse 10 through 12, and then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned away my wrath from the sons of Israel, in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not destroy the sons of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore say, behold, I give him my covenant of peace, and it shall be for him and his descendants after him a covenant of a perpetual priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for his sons, for the sons of Israel." And
amen.
These guys, I mean, their jaws are dropping, you know, because a lot of them, they've tried to argue with me that they have brothers that have married, you know, Asians and things like that. And I said, well, the good news is, if you read Ezra and Nehemiah, that was the last thing that had to be put into order, was to put aside the foreign wives and children. And they look at you like, what?
Yep. It is.
But anyways, you know, and then 16 I had highlighted as well. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Be hostile to the Midianites and strike them, for they have been hostile to you with their tricks, with which they have deceived you in the affair of Peor and in the affair of Cozbi, the daughter of the leader of Midian, her sister who was slain on the day of the plague because of Peor." And then 26:2, where he says, Take a census of all of the congregation of the sons of Israel from 20 years old and upward in their father's households, who was able to go out to war in Israel. And I told them, I said, in my Bible, I have written next to that the age of accountability, which is, you know, helps in explaining the biblical understanding of baptism for the remission of sins by immersion. And, so then, you know, just moving on, I was pointing out to him that God told him to utterly destroy men, women, and children, and they couldn't understand that. They couldn't see that. And I said, well, you know, he knew that if we didn't do it, that they would be thorns in our side, and they are. In fact, it even talks about that in 2 Chronicles, I think, about how they would be thorns in our side if we didn't do what he told us to do.
And how that has come to pass for the people that have eyes to see it. But you're right, John. These Judeo-Christians, all they ever hear is the love of God and the brotherhood of man, and that's it. And it's just, you know, even when you see like these hurricanes and stuff that have come through in Texas and in Florida, you see there hasn't been a lot of reporting of it, but there's been some looting and that type stuff, and you just see that there, you know, people can see it with their eyes. It reminds me of that spell that the people are under, that double-minded thinking. They hear that, oh, we're all the same, and we just have to love everybody because Jesus loved everybody. And they hear that, but they don't see that. They don't see that we're all the same. They see that people are different. And it is part of that spell that are on the people today.
Yeah, you look in when you get into Deuteronomy 2.
Yes.
Chapter 1, verse 17. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not fear man, for the judgment is God's. The case that is too hard for you, you shall bring to me, and I will hear it. I commanded you at that time all the things that you should do. But to me, that kind of ties into the courts of heaven as well, which I'm still researching, hopefully. To think there's still several messages there, but I just want to make sure that I got all the information right. But through the Bible reading plan last week, there was several things that backed up the courts of heaven, in my opinion.
Yes. Well, and the first part you read there from Numbers was, you know, God told Moses, you tell the judges to slay your people. Those weren't Midianites they were coming against. That wasn't the Hegrites and Edom and other people that were, it was against your people that have sinned, that have gone and done this abominable thing, and joined with the Baal of Peor. Now, John, this was the same group of men that, was it last year, the year before, that when you're talking to them about Baal, they just thought that was another name for God? I remember that.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Well, remember, judgment starts in the house of the Lord.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's, I think, and I'm pretty sure it's not preached from too many pulpits.
No, but that, you're right, that's where it starts. See that, and you know, the thought occurs to me, Jason, that's that trumpet sounding. That's that trumpet being out, not a voice, a lone voice in the wilderness. That might have been where it was at one time. But it's not just a lone voice in the wilderness anymore. It's that trumpet sounding. It's that word of God going out to them, planting that seed. Some will believe, some won't. That's how that goes. And it's not, everybody's not going to believe, but boy, that word goes out. It does. It absolutely does. Praise the Lord for that. And
well, you think at how many churches have really done away with the Old Testament. And a lot of people that you get together with Bible studies, and a lot of people that you quote scripture from the Old Testament, they've never heard it before. They've never read it before, because the church, the Judeo-Christian churches, a lot of them, most of them, I would say, you know, they pretty much follow the New Testament, and they try to avoid Romans 1, like the plague, you know,
yeah,
or anything that backs up. But what's interesting is some of them are starting to realize, even as we go through the New Testament, that it refers to the Old Testament many times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jesus quoted so much from the Old Testament. You know, so much of the red, even the red letter Bibles, so much of that are direct quotes from the Old Testament. And even when they preach the New Testament, John, you know, they pervert it. They don't, because they don't have the basis of where it comes from. They don't have the basis of who it's to. It is a, but the people are starting to realize that there's more to this Bible than what they've been taught. There's more to God than what they've been taught. There's more to Jesus than what they've been taught, because they haven't been taught properly. They haven't been taught.
Yeah, properly. Then we got into First Chronicles too, you know, and I brought this up in a message in the last couple of weeks, but in chapter 21, I was pointing out to them that it says, then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. And I said, so, you know, when you hear these people who say, the no devil doctrine and stuff, and it's like it has to be either God blinding them or demonic forces of hell blinding them from being able to see these things. And then I was pointing out to him as well in 21 how the Lord saw, let's see, what verse was that in? 14. So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. But as he was about to destroy it, the Lord saw and was sorry over the calamity and said to the destroying angel, "It is enough. Now relax your hand." I was pointing out to him, I said, that was the sin of one man, David, who called for the census to be taken. And it wasn't just of the Israelites. It was a census of all of the people, which I think may have been the sin there. But and I said, that was one angel. 70,000 men died for one sin. You know, you think God's not serious about obedience?
Well, about sin, you know? And it doesn't change with Jesus when he said, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And 1 John 3:4 says, sin is lawlessness. So if you practice sin, you ain't going to make it in with Jesus. It's as simple as that. Well, guys, let's try a phone call this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, hey, Richard. Hey, guys, it's Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Oh, praise God. I'm sitting here with you enjoying some good coffee, enjoying the summer weather that we're having here in the Northeast. We got a string of 80-degree days and so forth, but it's nice blue skies and sunshine here.
God is good.
I feel like I got to replant my garden here, but I better not.
Yeah, unless you're doing it in a greenhouse, that's for sure.
Yeah. I wish I could have a greenhouse, but the People's Republic of Pennsylvania saw fit to change all the laws, so anything with a roof on it gets taxed.
So yep. That's that way here.
Out of the question for me. Anyway, I was pondering your comment that Jesus quoted the Old Testament. Well, it wasn't Old Testament. It was just the Law and the Prophets, and Jesus was the last of the Old Testament prophets. A lot of people can't wrap their brain around that. And John 3:16 was penned in the New Covenant. But it was about, John the Baptist and Jesus and all those guys going around baptizing. John, the whole chapter of John 3 is just such, it chronicles that, you know. They went to Enon because there was much water.
Yeah. Yep.
And so there was no Old Testament, New Testament. Well,
there wasn't then. There certainly wasn't then. There certainly is now, the way that people look at it. But yeah, then the New Testament was being lived. It hadn't been written yet. They were living it. And so they had, the like you mentioned, the Law, the Prophets, the Scriptures there. And that is what they spoke of. If that our people today would realize that.
One of Pastor Peter's sermons from years ago, he was commenting on how the Babylonian captivity spawned the concept of the Pharisee, and it was an outgrowth of the attack against the Old Testament quote teaching, and the Pharisaical priesthood was instituted to preserve that. So we have to pretty much thank God for that, even though it was perverted in the late, it became Talmudism, but that institution, the Pharisaical priesthood, was a blessing in disguise if you really think about it, because what would have happened if you know, there wasn't such a resistance against you know, polluting that part of the word that was and I suppose it was written down even in those days.
Yeah, they had, you know, in the days of Jesus, I mean, they had the writings. You know, we carry the, just ordered another case of the Septuagint Bibles. And, you know, those, that's the Old Testament. You know, reportedly as written as the people in the New Testament, Jesus and the disciples and the apostles and the Pharisees and whatnot, that it was, that was, that was the Old Testament as they had it, and of course translated up into English over the years. But that, and so that, that's why that that Septuagint is a great resource, you know, to take a look, because
yeah,
it does
use it quite a bit.
It, yeah, it does at times read different than the Old Testament, the you know, the Masoretic, they call it, text that we have. Not that it's not saying that it's better. But it's a good reference to have, because it's a it's a different writing, a different, I don't want to say interpretation, but a different translation, I guess would be the the term. So that if you want to study, if you want to look into it, if you want to show yourself approved, it, you know, if you want to know the word, well, that's what it is. It truly is, and so. Oh, that the people would do that.
Yeah, there was a good example of a Phineas priesthood. One of the Gideon elites sent me yesterday. There was a child pedophile that a judge had released, and they had actually judged him out of his house one morning, and the head of the child pedophile that he released was on his doorstep. I don't think you can get much more of a warning than that.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I'm gonna hang up because I can barely hear you guys. I'm gonna see if I can catch what John just said on online here.
Joe,
have
God
a good
bless.
Day,
you,
you guys, and God bless you.
All right, God bless. You know, I firmly believe that's what it's going to come down to. That is what it's going to come down to. Nothing else has been working. Nothing else has worked.
Well, yeah, it's a warning. Well, we'll just say it's a warning to that judge. But anyways, this was interesting. Last night I was up fairly late, kind of looking through headlines, things to talk about. I saw this headline, and it was on World News, and it said, U.S. scrambles four doomsday planes after North Korea announces preps for war with U.S. complete. And it says North Korea is 12 and a half hours ahead of the U.S. East Coast time zone. Early Saturday morning in North Korea, the official state-run news agency KCNA announced North Korea's preparations for war with the United States are complete. Now, this is what this report says. I don't know that I have two witnesses or anything, but it is appears to be legitimate. Moments later, the United States scrambled four doomsday aircraft to provide survivable command centers for President and Vice President in Global Communications for Strategic Command, STRATCOM, to run the U.S. military worldwide. And it says right now there are two Boeing E-4B Night Watch aircraft and two more Boeing E-6 Looking Glass aircraft airborne. And then they basically said that, let's see, North Korea confirms preparations for war with U.S. Is complete. So, don't know where that's leading or what, but I know for sure that I think Trump sent the USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier out there along with a complete battle group in the Korean Peninsula. So, things are heating up.
They are. They are. Guys, we got a caller, and might have time for one just a minute here on the call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, good morning, Richard, John, Jason, Anthony from Jersey. How you doing?
Good morning, Anthony.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
Pretty good. Great. Are you guys redoing a fast today at 1 o'clock? I remember hearing something last week about fasting for 24 hours through Sunday there.
Yeah, we're going to, we did call a fast from 1 o'clock Mountain Time today to 1 o'clock Mountain Time tomorrow. And thank you for calling and reminding everybody about that, Anthony.
Okay, yeah, no problem. I just, I was just, all right, very good. Just want to make sure, I guess I'm a, no, I'm actually okay then. 11:10, 11:12, 1. All right, good. Yeah. I'm right on time, 12 o'clock our time then.
All
right, thank you. Thanks, John. Brother.
Thank you.
Have a blessed blessed week weekend, and we'll be listening on Sunday.
Thank you. You as well. I better invite people to church, Richard.
Yeah, we'll sure do that. And as we try to do every Saturday, we do invite you to come fellowship with us tomorrow. You can do it right there at your own home on your computer. Or on the shortwave, you can tune in starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time tomorrow morning. That's 9:30 Central and 10:30 Eastern. You can join us at scriptures4america.org. You can click on the live video feed if you have a good internet connection. If your connection's sketchy, the live audio feed will sure work. Like we said, it'll be out on internet, and you can join in on your smartphone as well and join us for a review of the news, certainly a Holy Spirit-inspired message by our pastor. You'll see you get to see John there, and have a live message from John, and we'll have communion where you can partake of communion and partake of the emblems of that represent the broken body and the blood that our Lord and Savior gave for us, that represent the price that He paid. And we're commanded to do that when we gather. And so we will do that tomorrow. And so we invite you to join us. If you're going to come in the physical, give us a call and let us know. Our pastor required that, and we do the same thing. We sure want to know if you're going to come visit us in person. And so just let us know if you want to do that. But we will have church tomorrow, like John said, calling for a fast today. Fasting and praying today, starting at 1 o'clock Mountain Time until 1 o'clock tomorrow. Fast and pray to the best of your ability.
Humble your soul. That's what it was called in the Bible.
Yeah, humble yourself before God. We see that many, many times as a command throughout the Old Testament. And so there's a time. Earthquakes, pestilence, famines, storms. Had an earthquake. Had an earthquake in North Korea yesterday. Had one off the coast of California yesterday. Had one in South Mexico this morning in southern Mexico. Had one on the 20th over in Indonesia and in New Guinea. You look at a map of the world. That ring of fire, that Pacific Rim, all around it. Rumblings.
Becoming active again. Yep.
It is becoming active, and so. And the sin abounds in the land. So let's humble ourselves and pray before our God. Well, men, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high.
Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them.